Stand before you with shaking this morning with a message that the Lord has been dealing with me about. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, starts off, and that chapter gives us a picture of the life of a man. Starts out with, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Continues on a few verses. And just as quick as our lifespan goes, it comes to the point that it says man goes to his long home and the mourners are going to go about in the streets. He's going to return back to dust again. And all these things that we have felt are so important in my life are going to be left behind. And I believe the writer in Ecclesiastes realized that. So he closed out that book, closed out that chapter with summing it all up. And as I looked at this and the verses started coming, I had to say, get on my knees and pray. I need more of this myself. Because Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And I want to stop right there. Summing it all up, the very most important thing of it all is that I fear God. So I had to do some searching. Lord, do I have as much of the fear of God on my heart as I should? Because we're living in a dangerous time in America today. Our nation is losing fear and reverence just for authority in general. There was a time when I was younger, when I was a child, where when a policeman said, "Stop, put your hands up," they obeyed. Because they realized, you know, either I need to obey or prepare to die. We're living in a different day today. We have some rights today. We have a freedom of speech. You know, in America, I can say whatever I want to say. I can run down the president, and it don't matter which one it is. I can run down the government. I can take the United States flag and I can burn it. It's all my freedom of speech. This is not the subject, but on that I would like to give you just a couple verses. Because I was thinking of the message yesterday, we need to be equipped. As the world goes farther off, I need to be able to know, here's what the scripture says about it. You know, the scripture says something about how I should respect authority just here. I'd like to look at those just real quick. Romans 13 and 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. That's an amazing scripture. Because this verse is, I thought, well, maybe that's just ministers. But it says these verses are talking about authority in this life. There's no power but of God. You know, God is in control of those who are in control in America. There is a level of respect and fear that I need to have to those. The powers that be are ordained of God. And then there's another verse in Titus, the 3rd chapter. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. The scripture gives us a guidance throughout our life. Part of that guidance is for how I conduct myself here in this life. Because I tell you, if I don't have a reverence and a fear and a respect for the authority that I can see around me, I probably won't have respect and a fear of God whom I don't see. There is something I would like to have you think about for a little bit. We haven't really known this in America because we've always had freedom. But there are places today that don't have the freedoms that we have. There are places today that you won't have a justice system that says we'll bring this into a court. They have one man that's in rule, and what he says goes. We read about that in the scripture when Joseph was in prison and two men were put in prison with him, the butler and the baker. There wasn't a trial that sent them there. It's just how the king woke up that morning. And it was really something that he even spared their lives for 3 days. But you remember they came there and they had the dreams, and Joseph told them, said, to the butler, you'll be getting your job back in 3 days. To the baker, you'll be dead in 3 days. You know, we don't read the baker saying, I'm going to get me a good lawyer. Was no such thing back then. You know, we see some examples of how much fear I need to have for God, because those men realize this one is in total control of whether I live or whether I die. Here's another example. When Queen Esther, Mordecai asked her, go to the king, go to your husband, and plead for the lives of the Jews. And she says, there is one law. And that is, if anybody, it does not matter who it is, walks into the presence of the king without him calling for them, there's one law. Except he will hold out the royal scepter to them, they'll be put to death. You know what? In America today, we can't even fathom that because we have rights. But I want to tell you, those kind of rights that we have can affect my serious looking at who God is and having a fear of God. In this life, there is an example that is about the closest I can think of that will ever come to understanding who God really is. And that is, if you have ever had to go into a courtroom and stand before a judge, it is totally different then. It is not, I've got my rights, don't talk to me like that. You walk in the courtroom and it is made to put out an atmosphere. The curtains are heavy and dark, and it's to put you in a feeling like you will not have out in the public. When you walk in there and they say the judge is about to enter, you get up off the seat and you stand there. And you don't sit back down again until he sits down. And if he doesn't sit down all day, you're going to stand there all day long. See, we're so used to having, I've got my rights. I don't have to do. But I want to tell you, I had to stand before the judge one time. And I have maybe it's a fault, that in times of really awkward, when I'm feeling really awkward, I'll try to come up with something cute to break the ice. You know what? When I stood before him, nothing came to my mind, and I'm so glad it didn't. Because you know what? I'm standing in front of a presence that I had better have a high regard for. Because there are people that move, they would have gone free that day, but they move from standing in front of the judge to sitting in the pen instantly, and they call it contempt of court. Now, I thought about this. No doubt, a lot of the people that come in, because I was there with a bunch of others, and I don't know how I got to be last, but I got to watch all these others, and I saw people have to stand in front of the judge that I would have been scared to meet on the street. But you know what? Every one of them had a yes, sir, no, sir. It was polite. Now, maybe down in their heart, they were saying other things. But on the outside, they showed a high regard. And the reason is because they knew what the consequences could be for it. All he would have to say is, this is contempt of court. Take him out. What would it be in our nation if the courtroom was like it is out in the street? You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? But instead, somehow they have maintained all these years with so much disrespect for everything else, they have maintained a regard. And I'll tell you how they've done it. Because they have held that level of law there that you can go straight to jail and everybody knows it. You know, there is one day that that judge is going to meet another. It's hard for us to comprehend. I will give this judge so much regard, so much respect, so much awe because of the power he has over my future. And then this judge dies, and he stands before another judge. We've heard about it in this meeting, Revelation 20. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. I saw the dead, small and great, the judges, the policemen, everyone who has had rule up until now, they meet us, and we all stand before the great judge. We sang the song, I think it was last night. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to the great judgment seat. I thought of the crashing of ages as time and eternity meet. And I look back at Ecclesiastes. It says the conclusion of this whole thing is fear God. Have a fear of God on my heart. Why is it that in this time that we're living in, there is more regard given to a judge on earth than there is given to the great judge of all? How is it that as a nation, we can disregard this great judge that we will someday stand in front of? We can say, I will not have this man to reign over me as a nation. We can say the Ten Commandments that were given, we'll tear them down. We will not have this man reign over us. You know what makes the difference of the respect that I can give the judge that I meet in town and this judge? Here's where it is. The difference is Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And you know, I'm in this environment. It's all around me. I'm living in a time where sentence against evil is not executed speedily. You know what? I need to make sure that has no, that does not rub off on me at all. I need to have a deep respect for the judge that I will one day stand before. I need to have the same level, a higher level of respect than what I felt when I stood before this one. And this one was only, yes, sir, no, sir. We read about times where the great judge of heaven called judgment, and it made a difference. When Ananias and Sapphira brought their money to the church, and God caused them to fall dead right there, right then, it said great fear came on all the church. You think that verse would have said that if nothing happened? They did it and they walked away and they looked just as good as everybody else that had given everything. You know, we're living in a time of mercy. We're living in a time where love of God is extended to us a little bit longer. And if I'm not real careful, I won't have the respect to this judge, the godly fear to this judge that I should. And there's something else for us to remember, because as we look around us and we see this happening time after time, though sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, because it's happening, you know what? It can affect us. But the next verse is something I need to have just as powerful within me. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know something. It's going to be well for them that fear the God, that have this level of respect to authority of God in my life. While I see it going all around me that it seems like judgment is not coming on any of these deeds that are done, be faithful. Fear God. Keep it steady in your life, because judgment will come. I'd like to look at a verse in Matthew, 10th chapter. You know, we have a lot of things today that if we'll let it, we could have fear. This verse tells us in the 28th verse, don't fear them which kill the body. You know, we read the news today and we read about ISIS and how little regard they have for human life and all the things that are happening, not just that, I mean just everyday living. Your life isn't very valuable to a lot of people. They don't even have to know you to kill you anymore. But this one says, don't let that be what consumes you. Don't fear them that kill the body. And those that have no, they're not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him that is able to destroy both my soul and my body in hell. And as I read the commentary on that, it says, it goes back to what we started with. It's God that we need to fear. Nothing else will be able to destroy my soul in hell. It is God that I need to fear. There are examples in the scripture where one king met another. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar? I don't think he really understood who the other king was when he talked to the three Hebrew children. And he said, do you not understand? I'm going to give you another chance. Maybe you did not understand. Folks, they had a fear of God on their heart. A fear of God that carried them right on past to where, like this scripture says, don't fear them that can kill the body. They had a regard. They had a level of the fear of God on their heart that I will not let this go. And he thought he would bring them to the end by throwing them in the fire. But instead, he got a glimpse of the judge that we're going to stand before. How did he know the fourth man in the fire looks like the Son of God? But he was able to get a glimpse. And then we saw some things happen. I think it's in the very next chapter, in the fourth chapter of Daniel, where he got lifted up. And he looked out over Babylon and over his from his house there, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I've been able to build? You know, folks, we need to have a fear of God on our heart to realize, you know what, the very breath I breathe is coming from God himself. You know what, if I will do that, if I will live that way, it'll be so much easier should I lose the temporal things that I have. I realize it was God. It's really something for me to read Job, where in one day he lost his earthly possessions. But that was not where his hope was. Anyhow, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job had a fear of God on his heart. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar, when he looks out over and he says, is not this great Babylon? The king of all kings brought him down and humbled him to where he said at the end of it all, I bless the Most High. There's somebody above me. It says, I praise and extol and I honor the King of Kings. Folks, in this life, it's real easy for us to get it flipped wrong. Because I see a judge, I see those in authority, and I have a respect for them. Do I have more of a regard for the king, for the judge that I'm not able to see right now? There is a verse I'd like to look at in Psalms. It's in the second chapter. Second chapter and the 10th verse. It says, be wise now, therefore. I'm sorry, it's in Psalms 1 and 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. The very ones that we've been talking about that, you know what, we need to have a regard here. He's letting them know now they need to be wise. They need to be instructed. The 11th verse tells them, serve the Lord with fear. To those in authority here, they need to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I was reading in the commentary about that. It says, when we serve God aright, we're going to have joy. But always with that joy, I need to have this godly fear. Realizing that I'm going to stand before God. It says, therefore, watch, pray, believe, and keep humble, because the day is coming when I'm going to stand before the great judge. And I want to live my life now. It says, have a godly fear. The conclusion of the whole matter is for me to fear God. And that's just on a daily basis that I realize who God is, and I have a deep respect for Him and the words that He gives. There's a picture given to us in Isaiah 66. This is a picture of the judge, the great judge. 66 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. You would think he'd say, okay, and with as high as I am, I only want to associate with those that are just under me, that are very high. But instead, what he says, to this man will I look. You know, I'm really interested any time I find in the scripture, he'll look toward this way. Here's my instruction. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Then I have to take inventory. Do I still tremble at the word of God? Or have I heard it so long that I could just finish the verse and it makes no difference? I need to fear God, because I'm going to stand before Him one day. There are two words in the Bible that when they're put together, they need to bring the fear of God on my heart. But if. I find the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, and the contact that he had with God, and the prayer that he prayed to God, the dedication of the temple to God, and God was so pleased with it. And God told him things like, my eyes and my heart will be right here forever. Boy, I'd love that to be said about me. But then he said to the wisest man that ever lived, all that can be erased. But if your heart turns. He let him know, the wisest man that ever lived, he let him know ahead of time, this is what can cause you problems. And I think about when the Queen of Sheba visited him, and she was so impressed. And one of the things she was impressed about was the fear of God that was on his heart. What she was impressed about is how he approached his worship to God. And I can't believe that the impression came because he walked up there as an equal to God and said, let me have a talk with him. Y'all watch me. I believe somehow in his approach, he was able to show her, though this is one king that can answer any questions, he has a godly fear for the other king that he's coming to talk to. Deuteronomy 28. That whole chapter, there's so many verses there that tell us the good things that can happen in my life. I love how it starts, except that it holds an if word right there at the beginning. 28 and 1, it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. This is the one, the same one that said, to this man will I look, the one that trembles at my word. The things that I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And that second verse says there's going to be blessings come, and they're just going to overtake you. Why? Because they hearken diligently to the word of the Lord. That goes on down, and he just continues blessing after blessing that will follow that life. And all those blessings were hinged to that little word if in the first verse. But then it comes on down in the 15th. There's a separation made in this verse. And I want to tell you, there'll be a separation made in my life should I choose one way or the other. That separation comes in the 15th verse. It says, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not. Just the opposite of what he said, all the blessings can come in your life if you will obey. He goes ahead and reverses almost word for word through the remainder of the chapter. If you choose not to obey, then instead of a blessing, it will be a cursing. The very things that I intended to bless you with. Is that just Old Testament things? Has God changed? He said, I am the God, I change not. Is it possible that it's the same for me today? And then I look at Joshua. You remember when Joshua was talking to the people? He's giving them a choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You're going to serve the gods that are around here, or you're going to serve the one true God? And you know, they said, he said, I'm going to, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And they all agreed with him. We are too. We'll serve him. And he goes on down in the 20th chapter, the 20th verse of the 24th chapter, because he said, he's not going to forgive you. You know, they still had idols in the land. And he said in the 20th verse, if you forsake the Lord, he's going to turn and do you hurt. That's an amazing verse. The very one that said, I want to pour out blessings on you, now says, if you forsake the Lord, those blessings will be turned to hurts in your life. That happened so many times to the children of Israel. God gave them a promise. There'll be no enemy that'll be able to stand before you. I will fight your battles for you. But if was always tied in there. I want to tell you, if is connected to our contact with God too. I've got to have the fear of God on my heart, and I've got to tremble at his words. So God would come along. They've got idols back in their life again, and his promise no longer is effective to them. And it says in some of the scripture, it says God himself assisted the enemy in coming to overtake them. I think we heard even this week in Jeremiah 29:11 said, the thoughts I think towards you, they're of peace and not of evil. You know what happened in that chapter? He's telling them, you're in captivity now. You're going to be there for 70 years. You know, when trouble comes into our life, immediately I want out of it as quick as possible. There were prophets that said, in 2 years, you will be back in your land again. And God is having Jeremiah say, don't listen. I've got you in captivity now, and you'll be here for 70 years. Raise your families here. And it even goes to the point of what we talked about, the first, those people that are in authority in this life. It says, it's in the peace of the city. Seek the peace of the city wherein you dwell. They're captives. Don't still rebel. Seek the peace of the city wherein you dwell, because it's in that peace that you're going to have peace. You know, it is God's mercy that he comes to me and sends adversity.
That's right.
In my life to correct me here. Because the worst thing that can happen to me is if I sin here and no chastising comes, and I carry that sin to the judgment. Eve was tempted by Satan. When he told her, she understood very well what God's commandment was. And I believe she was ready to obey it. And then Satan came and said, you won't surely die. You know, we read that, and before I just saw her disobedience. But you know what was happening? Eve was losing the fear of God on her heart. As she heard this temptation coming, she should have, I've got a fear of God on my heart. I won't cross what he said. But instead she yielded, and we're still paying the price for it today. But there is a verse that says in Psalms 34 and 11, it says, "Come, you children, hearken to me. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord." You know, that is the responsibility of parents today. That is why the Bible storybook is so valuable to read to your children, is it's teaching them the fear of the Lord. Here's what happens when a person disobeys God's commands. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. I wonder about Eve and Adam when they were put out. Did they teach their children the fear of the Lord? Somehow Cain didn't have it. For God himself to visit Cain, and here's that word again, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, sin lies at your door. Nothing has changed for 2017. That word if is still very important for every one of us. If you will obey the commandments of the Lord, he'll be with us. But if not, there's trouble coming. And the very worst trouble that can happen to me is if God allows me to continue on with no problems in my life. You know, that affected the person that wrote Psalm 73. He said, "As for me, my feet just almost slipped because I was trying to do right. And I looked around me at the wicked, and they were prospering. There were no bands in their death." You know, that seems pretty good to be able to slip out into death with no bands there, no troubles. You remember reading about Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress when Christian went to cross? He had such a tough crossing from here, death. Because you know what? Satan's not going to let go on a person that has still maintained his integrity to God until death has come. But you remember ignorance? He was able to cross death, that river, with no problem at all. In fact, had a boat to take him across. There's no bands in their death. But folks, let's fear God, because it's not all over till it's over. We're going to stand before the great judge. And if I have been able to slip it through here, I need to fear God, because it won't slip through over there. Ananias, they were punished for death, with death, for hypocrisy. It was almost like their main goal now is, I want the people around me to think well of me. If they think well of me, I have achieved. When they died, great fear came on the church. It is possible for me in my life to say, this is my goal. I've been raised right here among you all, and I'm going to live to impress you. I want to tell you, I can stand right here and preach to you and lose my soul. I've got to have the fear of God on my heart. Because I said great fear came on the church when they died instantly. And it says, of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. Even the environment around was, they had a fear of God on their heart. We're not going to play church. For me today, it's possible for me to live my life to impress you and die, and have a testimony that God was with me. And then I stand before the great judge. Because that verse didn't just end in Ecclesiastes with fear God. It said, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And it went on to say, because this isn't over, God's going to bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything will be open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I don't want to stand before the Lord that way. I want to have the fear of God on my heart today that He can deal with me in any area of my life. When God deals with me to forgive others, when He warns me lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. But I continue on without forgiving. It's an indicator. I'm losing the fear of God on my heart. In the Old Testament, God was so strict about obedience. He was very strict about obedience about the Sabbath day. You do no work on the Sabbath day. And I read a little incident that in our day and time we would say, big deal. Why does it matter? How many people were there anyhow that were traveling from there to the Canaan land? At a time I heard that it was over 1 million people. They found one man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And he was put to death. What do you think happened on the next Sabbath day? You think people went out picking up sticks? I think there was a great fear came on the people. One of the worst things that can happen to us, to me, is that nothing happens here. And I continue on. And I face it in the judgment. There's a verse in Hebrews 12 and 28. It's telling me I need to have a fear of God on my heart. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve Him acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Because our God is a consuming fire. Either I can bring my wrongs to Him and He consume them here, or I can wait and take them to the judgment and I am consumed for eternity. You know, this fear needs to go very deep with me. It needs to follow me through my life. It needs to be there when I'm making decisions that seem so trivial. They can affect where I spend eternity. We sing a song that says, O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God. You know what? Saved and sanctified, I need to have a fear. I'm going to reckon with God one day. To the sinner, O soul, be afraid. In thy sins, thou shalt die. We heard last night the verse that says, if you die in your sins, where Jesus is, it cannot come. And you know, the world around us, the religious world around us, is saying most everybody's going to make it. I need to have the fear of God on my heart. O soul, be afraid, in thy sins thou shalt die. But there's an if word there too. None of us have to die in our sins. The only reason it's going to happen is, I die in my sins if Christ thou reject while He's passing by. I'm so thankful that God deals with me. And I want to have the fear of God on my heart that I respond to it. O soul, be afraid. The judgment's going to come. To every Christian here today, let's have a fear of God on our heart. The judgment's coming. It needs to make a difference in how I live my life. Another verse was, O soul, be afraid, in His presence thou art. Not just here in service, but tomorrow on my job, all the places I go, and there's no one else around to see me. I believe Joseph kept this fear of God on his heart. When temptation came to him, he didn't look around and say, there's none of the church around here. I believe I'll go ahead and partake. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I believe the fear of God was on his heart. We each one need to have that fear on our heart. There is a fear of God indicator that I can have. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Seventh chapter. Starting in the 10th verse. Godly sorrow. I believe godly sorrow comes when I have godly fear. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. The sorrow of this world will work death. For behold, this self-same thing, when I sorrow after a godly heart, after godly sort, something starts happening in my life. What a carefulness it wrought in you. It's no longer about me checking to see what the church teaches. It's about me having a fear of God on my heart and telling him if there's anything in my life that could cause me to drift from you, not even this year, but next year or 5 years from now. Lord, show me now. Because I don't want to carry it until I meet you in the judgment with it. What a carefulness it wrought in you. This is an indicator for me to check how much of the fear of God I have on my heart. What about my carefulness? What a clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. I believe that's talking about the fear of God. What vehement desire. A carefulness that comes in my life because I've got godly fear that is driving me. As we each one take inventory. You know, my job is not to check for you. Folks, I'm running. For my own soul. Eternity is out ahead for me. There's just a warning. Maybe today there's someone here that really doesn't even care what God thinks about it. No fear. I want to tell you, fear God. Don't take that to the judgment. Because it says, guaranteed, every knee is going to bow one day. I need to have the fear of God on my heart. If today I'm very careful in my life, I'm following this 11th verse very carefully. I've got a carefulness. I'm clearing myself. I've got a fear. Keep it up. We're not home yet. Guard it. My soul, be on thy guard. It says, never think the victory won. Because things are going well today, fear God. Be on guard. Because the devil has a plan. And I know I use it over and over. But it's the one that brings the fear of God to me. If you ever feel that you're maybe starting to lose some of the fear of God, pull out your songbook and look up D.O. Teasley and look at the songs that he wrote and the determination that he had. He had the fear of God on his heart. It's not enough for me to have it today. It's going to have to be maintained. I'm going to have to refuel in this day and time when all around me there is no respect even for the authority of the land. And I want to tell you what happens in the world wants to creep in and affect me. There is a progression that we read about of moving towards sin. It's in James, first chapter, and the 13th verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So he's telling me right here, need to have the fear of God on my heart, because I won't be able to blame God with it. It's coming from me. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And now as I look at this subject, I look at this verse and I see that to some degree, the fear of God is leaving this person. He's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. A choice that I'm making to start drifting. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And I could almost see like a tank that's been filled with the fear of God, but it's being drained. Temptation came that was not resisted. Part of the fear of God is drained off. Because you know what? On our choices that we make, if I am full of the fear of God, it'll be so easy to make the choice. I will not go that direction. Knowing that I'm going to stand before God each day. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There's one more verse. Because, you know, there's a cloud of witnesses that are a testimony to me. I can make it. They maintained a fear of God on their heart throughout their life. There is also a cloud of witnesses that is a warning to me. If I lose the fear of God, if I back up on what God has talked to me about, I can be in trouble. In Galatians 2 and 18, it says, if I build again the things that I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Have you ever had a time where God dealt with you personally about something? And you say, yes, Lord, I will do it. You know, time can pass and it doesn't quite feel the same later. I need to be real careful. Because I'm on my way out to meet a judge that's much greater than the judge of this earth. You know, we hear when people are called into a courtroom and a trial comes up, we hear that some lawyers are sharp enough that they can get them off. They can be guilty of the crime and they can get them off on a technicality. You did not read their rights to them before you arrested them, and they get off. That can happen. There can be judges here that are paid off and you get what you want to get. That's all. Remember, the judge of all can't be paid off. It says he sees, there's why I need to have the fear of God on my heart. Because he sees every secret thing. He knows whether it's good or whether it's evil. And the day is coming where I stand before him. I'd like for us to sing that song number 389. O soul, be afraid. And when I get to the place where I think, yep, if there's a sinner here, they probably need to pay attention to that. Folks, I'm not home yet. I need to have a fear of God on my soul because I want to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.